Come on. Good morning. Good morning, Bridge City Church. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, good morning. It's so good to be with you guys this morning. Pastor Nick, my Android locked up on me. He's giving me a hard time because I have an Android, not an Apple, and wouldn't you know it, it locks up on me. So there's a case study for you. But good morning. It's such a privilege, such an honor to be with you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Nick, for having us. My wife Meg is here with me. It's just a blessing to be in the Pittsburgh area. We got a chance to sit down with Pastor Rick and Natalie and hear their hearts yesterday. Our group did, and it's just been such a wonderful time in this area. We have 5 kids at home, so it's a breath of fresh air to go stay in a hotel. But you know what? I'm excited to get back home and see my kids. So, although we're close, we aren't actually Canadian. We're from Minnesota. And yes, sometimes we do have a funny accent, but we pastor the River Church in Faribault, Minnesota, in South Central Minnesota. You know, we have 5 wonderful kids, and if you were to stop over at our house, you'd probably hear someone playing the piano, you'd probably see some baseball stuff on the floor, and you would probably step on a Lego and hurt yourself. So that's kind of where we're at in our stage of life. We have a daughter and 4 boys, and it's amazing. But today, I want to talk to you about fostering a fruitful heart. It was just a joy to hear the series that you guys are going through about what we believe. What do we believe about God? What do we believe about us, our identity? And what do we believe about who we are as the body, God's people? Aren't you glad to be connected to the church? You know, I say this in our city, I'm so glad that we're not the only thing in town. That even if we had 5 services, Saturday and Sunday, our whole town couldn't fit in our church. Jesus is the one building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's good news, and in our current circumstances with where our nation's at, people need Jesus. People need light in our present darkness, and he's the answer. He's our living hope. You know, the state of our heart, we're talking about fostering a fruitful heart, the state of our heart is a big deal to the Lord. The state of our heart is a big deal to God. Not only does he care, but he notices and knows everything that's going on in our hearts. Psalm 44 says he knows the secrets of our heart. Psalm 139 says he searched us and knows us. He knows everything about us. The same chapter, Psalm 39 says even the darkness is like light to him. Nothing gets by the Lord. You know, we can fake it till we make it, but he knows what's going on. You know, let me just tell you a story. In our city, we have our church has a softball team. We play in a church league, and I play on the softball team, and I was up to bat a couple weeks ago, and I hit a triple. And it was great. Come on. I mean, you know, I pat myself on the back. But I got to third base. The next guy hit me home, and it was great. But when I got into the dugout, I looked at my phone, and I wear this Fitbit. I know we've got some of us have smartwatches, Apple Watches, or whatever. But I have this Fitbit, and it said, "Way to go. We automatically detected your aerobic exercise." I mean, I'm at the gym 3 times a week. I'm doing my best. I'm trying hard. But I have never received a pat on the back from my phone that automatically it detected an aerobic exercise. So I was hustling. My Fitbit knew. My heart rate was peaking. God knew. And the whole team knew. So much so my phone patted me on the back with a good job. But the state of our heart is a big deal to God. Right. You know, I was sucking air. My watch knew. God knew. The whole team knew. But the funny thing is do you know the state of your heart? Do you know the state of your heart? Your watch might have an idea, but do you know what's going on in there? Because whatever's going on in your heart is going to be indicative of what's going on in your life. Whatever is going on in your heart is going to determine what's going on in our lives. One of the things the Bible compares our heart to is different types of soils. And we want a fruitful heart. You know, we're going to read in our passage today, Matthew chapter 13, verse 3-9. It's going to be on the screen if you have your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 13, it says, "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, the sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seeds. As he sowed, some seeds fell on the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. Immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We're going to skip down to verse 19, and this is Jesus explaining this parable. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you till the ground of our heart. Lord, help us to understand your word and let it sink in. Lord, that it would create a fruitful heart, that we could share who you are with others. Lord, that we could be light in darkness. Lord, that we could be witness to our culture in this present time. Lord, change us, transform us, make us like your son. Jesus, we glorify your name. Help me to preach your word. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. 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 You know, this parable shows up in 3 out of the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this parable refers to 4 distinct categories of people. They all heard the word and responded differently. 4 distinct categories of people who all heard the word and responded differently. Just as much, I think this parable also applies to the different seasons of the heart we may find ourselves in. You know, we sometimes, the word of God, we might hear it and it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. It's like the road. Other times we might have a flash in the pan experience, something immediate but shallow, and it's short-lived because the rocky ground of our life, you know, that our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups get in the way, so it doesn't last. Sometimes we also may have seasons of thorns and thistles and the other cares of life that choke out what God wants to do in our lives. The Bible talks about those being worries and things like worry and greed. But ultimately, what's the goal? The good soil. Ultimately, the goal is fruitfulness. You know, this is truly having God's character at work in us and through us. The world needs Jesus, and we want God's character at work in us and through us. That fruitfulness would be sharing his love, his joy, his peace. I'm just so encouraged by the testimonies of this trip. It's like we get to share who God is to those in need. It's fruitfulness. That's our goal. God is glorified when our lives are fruitful. And that's being changed by him and sharing who he is with others. Amen? So here's the question. Do you know the state of your heart? That's the question. Do you know the state of your heart? Because whatever's going on in your heart is going to determine what's going on in your life. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Say, everything you do. Everything we do somehow, some way is going to flow out of what's inside of our heart. So we need to know what's going on in there. We want to foster a fruitful heart that honors God, where we can taste and see that the Lord is good and we get to share his goodness with others in our lives. This journey is a relationship with God that's more like a pursuit than an arrival. You know, it's like when someone gets married. You know why there are vows at a wedding? Because you're not arriving somewhere. You're committing to something. Good times and bad, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. It's a journey, and God wants a relationship with us as his children. Amen? Amen. So I want to zoom in on some lessons that we can learn from just the first soil, and that's the road. Just to recap, verse 3 says, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road. The birds came and ate them up. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road." Everybody say the road.
The road.
The first thing is that truth doesn't change. Truth doesn't change. He spoke many things to them in parables. The sower went out to sow. Truth doesn't change. The seed is good. The soil is what needs to be adjusted. The seed is good. The soil is what needs to be adjusted. You know, the road was the only soil where the seeds didn't take root at all.
Right.
Nothing was growing there. Nothing was planted there. The seeds didn't even get planted. But I'm so glad that even when I don't understand something about the Lord, he's still good and his word is still true. Amen? Even when I don't understand, and you know what, this world, like what you were talking about, all the things that have gone on in our lives, the tragedies, the hang-ups, the mishaps, everything that's going on, I'm so glad when we don't understand, Lord, what are you doing? He's still good, and his word is still true.
Right.
So it's something that we have to understand. The seed is good. The soil needs to be adjusted. You know, in the book of Isaiah, it says that God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And in the same book, he's so far above, he's holy, there's no one like him. In the same book, we have the invitation, he says, come, let's reason together. You know, God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to know him and have truly an understanding of who he is and what he's about. The seed is good, the soil needs adjustment. That's why we need God's word at work in our lives. We need the word of God at work in our lives. Because here's the thing. Sometimes there are areas of our heart that are like the road. And the reality is we have no intention on changing or adjusting anything. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God has good works for his church to do, amen?
Right.
You know, that sounds like an active pursuit.
Right.
That doesn't sound like a destination. That sounds like an active pursuit. That sounds like the seed is good, but the soil needs adjusting. You know, but it's not going to happen by accident. You know, you could grab a handful of Scrabble pieces and throw them down, but you're not going to get a dictionary. I mean, there has to be some intentionality. And our relationship with God isn't going to be automatically amazing without any adjustments. Right? Do we realize there are some areas of our lives that currently we have no intention on changing? And folks, let's get real. Most times, this is just innocent. This is just innocent. And you know, sometimes it might be ignorant. Like, we just don't know. You just don't know what you don't know. And that's okay. That's okay, because we're always learning. But sometimes, you know, we kind of got an attitude about things. And so here's a question. It's like the road. It's hard, pressed down ground. That's why we need teaching. That's why we need correcting. That's why we need rebuking sometimes. And you know, here's the question. When was the last time someone you love and trust, you know, because you can go to a gas station and make someone mad and get this, but when was the last time someone you love and trust called you out and called you up? When they called you out and called you up. When was the last time we were reading the word and it called us out? The word doesn't let us, you know, we don't sneak anything past God. The scripture calls us out on things, but it also calls us up on things. Because we serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who has all authority in heaven and earth. We sang it this morning. We serve a God. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He gave his life for us that we could have new life. We serve a God who paid the price. He demonstrated it. You can take that check to the bank and cash it. You know what I'm saying? We serve a God who is for us. So when the word convicts us and challenges us and calls us out, it's not out of condemnation, but it's to call us up into greatness, into who God is, into who Jesus wants us to be in him. Amen? The seed is good. The soil needs adjusting. The NLT puts it this way. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Every good work. You know the difference between right and wrong. Truth and lies. Our culture today, depending on who you ask, you're going to get very different answers. Very different answers. That's why it's so important that our standard is based on the Word of God, not cultural opinion or our subjective experiences. You know, sometimes, here's the deal. Sometimes our faith gets rocked because we have wrong expectations about who God is. Our faith gets rocked. You know, accept Jesus and all of your problems will just go away. This is just not the case. Sometimes false expectations lead us into big trouble. You know, in 2019, just a little bit of my story, on my wife's birthday, after going blind in one eye, I got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Lord. And praise God, everything is going well. The prognosis and everything, it's good. It's good news. God is good. Amen. But in that moment, it's like, God, this wasn't part of the plan. I got four kids at the time. My wife's pregnant. It's like, this isn't part of the plan. I don't know if I'm going to get my sight back, which praise God I did. It was temporary. But it's like, I didn't know if I was going to be able to throw a baseball with my kids. I didn't know if I was going to be able to walk in 5 years. God, what are you doing? I was confused. I was scared. I didn't know what my life would look like. But what I did know is that Jesus will never leave me and he'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And I'm glad that he is being honest with me when he said in John 16:33, in this world, you will have trouble. But you can take courage because I have overcome the world. You know, he went through the deepest, darkest suffering. He was the one who had to wrestle with it in the garden and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You know, even God, even Jesus himself had to wrestle with that in the garden, in that low place to say, not my will, but yours be done. That he walks through trials with us. Amen? He's acquainted with all of our griefs. And my heart was getting adjusted in those seasons. The seed is good. The soil needed adjustment. And God uses all things for his glory. Amen? Even pain, even suffering, even the dark times are sometimes the greatest times where he's churning our lives into a fruitful, beautiful thing in the future. You know, the truth doesn't change. The seed is good. Our hearts need to be adjusted. Psalm 19:7 talks about the word. It says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. It keeps going. It says, the reverence of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold. More desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant when things need to be adjusted. And they are a reward for those who obey him. And that's the fruit, folks. That's the fruit. The second thing is a question. Are we listening to understand? Are we listening to understand? And here's what I mean by that. Are we letting God's word sink in? Are we letting God's word sink in? Have you ever wondered, you know, we're talking about this parable of the sower, this farmer who's planting seed. Have you ever wondered why the sower would plant seeds on the road? You know, I'm not choosing the asphalt for my garden, right? It seems counterintuitive. It seems like, why would you ever do that? The road is a busy place. It's where people are on the move. The ground is worn down into a rut. It's uncultivated places. But here's the thing. Have you ever wondered why our hearts can be unfruitful? I'm busy. I got stuff to do. And I get that. I got 5 kids. We got stuff to do. Or maybe you're in a rut. Maybe you're in a rut. And I'm so glad that we have people that we can connect with in our local churches, small groups, serve teams, people that have been there, done that, and they can come alongside of us and help us out of the ruts that we might fall in our lives. Amen? Right. Or maybe we've never just let God's word sink in and change our lives. Right. It's uncultivated soil. You know, anyone can hear, but are we letting it sink in? Are we letting it sink in? Are we listening to understand? You know, that word to understand means to bring together. To bring together, to bring or set together. It's what we talk about when we say, that just clicked. Click. You know, it's like those Legos that you step on. This is what we want to happen when we hear the word of God. We want it to click. We want it to sink in. Like planting a seed in good soil, we want to understand it. We want to let it sink in. Are we fostering that? Or is our heart like a packed down road where nothing can get in? You know, are you too busy? You know, maybe life is moving really fast and we need to make some time. Maybe you don't know how to do that. Ask somebody. Ask your pastor. Ask a friend, ask your life group leader or someone you're serving with, or just ask anybody. Turn to your neighbor, say, how do I do this? In some ways, it's simple, but you know, simple things aren't always easy things. Right. You have time for whatever you make time for. You know, maybe you're stuck in a rut, and again, if you're dealing with stuff, you have a whole room full of people that care about you, that love you, and want to see God's best for you. People that you wouldn't believe that they've been where you've been. But once you start opening up and doing real life with people, all of a sudden you realize, you too? You went through that too? Like, oh my goodness. Like, and you start having comrades and, you know, people that can come alongside of you and lift you up, and it's like, wow, this is life-giving. And people will pick you right up out of that rut and get you back moving. You know, maybe it's just asking yourself, how can I grow? How can I apply this to my life? If you get a room full of paint but never put it on the walls, it's not going to make a difference. Right. We have to apply it. It's good to understand. It's good to let it sink in. Ephesians 5:17 says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, let's be intentional and cultivate that ground. Don't be like the road. Let it sink in. When you hear the word of God, when Pastor Nick is bringing the word, like, let's let it sink in. Ask yourself, how can I put this into practice? Like, today. You know what I mean? God even tells the prophet Jeremiah, this is something that you can brag about. In Jeremiah 9:24, it says, but let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. You know, are we willing to learn about what God delights in? Because When we find out what matters to God, it should start changing what matters to us. Amen? Here's the deal. Cultivating your heart is a process. It's a process of putting your trust, your faith in the Lord, getting people alongside of you, surrendering to the Lord and what he was doing in your heart. It's not doing more and trying harder. You know, we don't earn anything in our own works. And, you know, disciplined lives, you know, there's some value in that. But trying harder isn't going to make you more like Jesus. Getting low, humbling our hearts, God is the only one who can change our lives from the inside out. He's the only one who can change our hearts. And we have to humble ourselves, slow down our busy lives, let the word sink in and say, Lord, would you teach me to follow your ways? Change my heart where I can't change it. Amen. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you may prove, you can understand what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. The NLT puts it like this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Amen? The third point is this. Don't let the enemy steal from you. Don't let the enemy steal from you. You know, we used to have a bird feeder on our back porch, and those squirrels were my arch nemesis. They would climb. I didn't even know how they got on that bird feeder, but they would steal the bird seed. They would steal the seed. Thieves. Liars. Don't let the enemy steal from you. You know, that's what the devil wants to do. When we hear God's word can change our lives. Amen? God's work in our lives changes us from the inside out. But the enemy is like a bird that comes and steals that seed. It just swoops in and takes it away. The truth doesn't change, but it will change us if we let it in. You know, the enemy is a thief and a liar, and he wants to steal away the work that God's doing in our lives. The number one way that he does that is by twisting the message and trying to distract us from what God said. That's the only play he's got. He's going to twist the message and try and distract us from what God said. In Genesis chapter 3, the very beginning, what does it say? Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, right there, that's his strategy. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden? God said something like that, but he didn't say that. Listen to that. Did God really say, it sounds like a serpent. You know, just ignore the enemy. Ignore him. Hold on to the promises of God. Find out who God is, who we are according to God's word, and who the church is and how we can walk forward in that. You know, even Jesus at his baptism, when he was getting baptized, it says a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Beloved son, I'm well pleased. You know how much ministry Jesus did at that point? None. He didn't even start his ministry. The first thing that he did, he went out into the wilderness, and here comes the devil. And you know what the devil said first thing? He's like, if you really are the Son of God. He's just lying. He's just trying to discredit the word of God. And you know what Jesus did? He gave him the word. He gave him the truth. Because the truth doesn't change, because the seed is good. Amen? John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The enemy wants to do anything he can to destroy what God is doing and able to do in our lives. Don't let him. Slow down. Get out of the rut. Cultivate a heart where God's promises can sink into our lives. Amen? Jesus came to give us his life. He literally gave us his life. He laid down his life that we could have life abundantly, but we have to guard our heart. Can we have the worship team come up here? We're just going to close. You know, the seed is good, but the soil of our hearts needs to be adjusted. Amen? Do you know the state of your heart? Do you know what's going on in there? Because whatever's going on in our heart is going to determine what's going on in our lives. And some of us are in some dark moments of our lives. Some of us are in great moments. But you know what? Seasons change. We are all going to have good times and bad times. And God's word is true. And he is completely faithful. And he is completely trustworthy. Amen. We have to guard our heart. Again, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What's growing in your heart? And are you letting the truth of God's word that transforms us, that makes us more like Jesus, that's the hope that our world needs, are you letting that sink in and change you first? Amen. Let's stand together. You know, the question is, does your heart need to get right today? You know, maybe life hasn't panned out the way you expected. Whether it's circumstances or a diagnosis, maybe you're mad at God because of some type of situation or expectation. I'm telling you today, he loves you and he's for you. He laid down his life for you. Or maybe you're fearful of what's going on in our current world, our current culture, afraid of the future. Maybe we're too busy. Maybe we're stuck in the ruts of life and nothing seems to be fruitful. Or maybe the enemy has convinced you of some of his many, many lies and he's stealing the goodness of God right out of your life. You know, Jesus specializes at making hearts right. And more than that, he specializes at making dead things alive, making things brand new. He doesn't just clean us up, he makes us brand new. Amen. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it's good seed that produces good fruit in our lives. Lord, would you help us to foster a heart that is able to receive from you, to understand, Lord, that we would get it and we would walk with it. Lord, that it would bear fruit in our lives, your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your patience, your faithfulness, your love for us. Lord, thank you that you are for us. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.